the White Sox have fared very well against your so-called power pitchers. There's no reason to fear any staff in baseball, and I don't think the White Sox do. I think the White Sox are very eager to get their swings in tonight against the Don Drysdale-esque Roy Oswalt.
Pretty elated off of the Sox here on the fifth. They trail 4-0. Pitch is swinging a high fly deep to right field. Gone for a home run. Sox are on the board. Swinging a line drive up the middle. That's good for a hit. It's now 4-2 Astros. It's now 4-3 as Pacetic scores, and the White Sox have come all the way back. They now lead 5-4.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Roy Oswalt knows that their backs are collectively against the wall, that this is now or never for the Houston Astros.
The pitch, a swing, and a drive fair down the left field line. The Astros have tied the game at 5. And we're going to extra innings in Houston.
And we're going to the 11th inning in Houston.
Jenks has it, throws to first, that's it, we're going to the 12th.
And we are going to what we hope is a lucky 13th for the White Sox.
Uribe has it, flips to second, we're going to the 14th.
Just because a team returns home
right
doesn't mean they have to win. The White Sox are a better baseball team, they're a hotter baseball team.
The right-handers pitch.
Blum drives it to right field, and it's a gutter! A home run for Blum!
A swing and a high pop fly.
Uribe is there, he has it for a White Sox winner.
And the White Sox are one win away from a world championship.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Remember this? Remember this?
Oh, I remember it, yeah.
2001 through 2008, this radio station might not still be on the air all these years later. 25 years we're celebrating on ESPN Chicago. And without the Mac, Yurko, and Harry show, honestly, we might not have made it because it established some legitimacy. It gave us credibility. And it's going to go down in history as one of the great sports talk shows in not just Chicago, but really probably anywhere in the country for the success that you guys had. Mac is here. Harry is almost here.
Harry's in an Uber.
As Yurko always said, dollar waiting on a dime.
That's right, dollar waiting on a dime. It's okay,
Yeah.
When the dime gets here, then it'll be complete.
Yeah.
Then the reunion will be complete.
Well, the thing is, Houston's the perfect open. Let's trail before the lyric next time on that, but you guys are great. The producers of this radio station are great. I listen a ton. And producers turned hosts, Adam Abdallah, yeah. Chris Black. The way this station has sounded, I listen a ton in football season. There's so much good going on here. And Houston, we'll tell a story about a fight in Houston. Because this show, the Mac, Yurko, and Harry show, while a vapor many years ago, it's a vapor. This is not art. This Warden Norton's fart in the wind, okay? It's gone tomorrow. We don't do art. But the only story I really want to get into is the fight in Houston, because no show has ever broken up batting practice on a clinching game of the World Series because of shouting. 200 reporters around the batting cage.
That was game four?
That was a clincher.
Right before game four?
See, I blame it on Jeff Blum taking so long to end game three. I mean, if he would have done it sooner, that would have. So we're all tired. A few of us have chemical irritability issues in that era. And by the way, it's not just Harry and me. That was publicized, and it was good for us, too, that we were raging addicts because it drew attention to us. Bob Probert was a better hockey player. I'm sorry. Sam Kinison was funnier when he was messed up. The greatest Chicago radio host is Steve Dahl. He was fantastic when he was a mess. So without that, and Yurko was no babe in the woods either, but it wasn't because of chemicals. You never... It wasn't on the air when he threw a stapler at a producer.
No. It was a telephone.
It was a telephone. Yeah.
It was a telephone. I'm sorry.
Matt,
right.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Would he ever throw a stapler?
Never a stapler.
I told Carmen in 07. I told Carmen in 07, stay near, man, because between suspensions and back surgeries and stuff, you're gonna have the keys here real soon.
2008 was pretty wild. And, like, Mac's not joking. He did once pull me aside, and he said that. He goes, the way this is trending, you might be in this seat before you know it. In 2008, it was crazy because you had the back surgery. There was a suspension. And
we did shows from his basement.
Well, that's true.
We were doing shows from his basement.
But in the immediate aftermath, he couldn't do the show for a couple weeks in the immediate aftermath.
Right.
Then you guys went into the basement, and it was like 10 weeks worth of shows. And Mac honestly brought me aside one day and said that. And I was a little overwhelmed when he said it. and I wasn't sure what to make of it. We had so much fun back then, and at times we had a little bit of an adversarial relationship with Sylvie and I were working together, and these were the, like, we sort of aspired to be where you guys were. I mean, let's face it. We did. I grew up listening to Mac, obviously.
That's a low bar, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I can remember painting houses freshman year, after my senior year of high school and freshman year of college. I can remember painting houses for JF, and there was no ESPN. There was only the other station. And what did we have on in the afternoon? We'd listen to Mac and to Terry. And we sort of aspired to get to where you guys were going, and sometimes the ball busting was a little bit more than just ball busting, and it was a time that was super fun. And I remember those days quite fondly, the camaraderie, sometimes the uncomfortableness, the back and forth where maybe sometimes it felt like it was a little too personal, but you had to just have thick skin and deal with it and roll with it. And it was a magical time. But really what you guys established, like the groundwork you laid, I don't think it's an exaggeration. There he is.
If you're going to talk like Kopic, I'm going to hug Harry from a distance.
Hold on. Here's his headset.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we might not have survived it without
you guys.
What's up,
Harry?
Well, thank you.
You want the chair? You want?
I don't know about that. You know, this is, God, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, those 12:30 production meetings are hard to get to in the afternoon. Comes in a Michael Vick jersey, stuffed in a Michael Vick jersey. His eyes are closed. Exactly. At least I did it when I crossed the steel bridge 2 hours ago coming down here. I wasn't. Anyway.
A Michael Vick jersey.
Thank you.
Or a Jeremy Burnett's journey, maybe. I don't know.
The heart and soul of a radio station is its production staff. We had great producers. I managed one ego by myself. That's why we needed three producers. The 85 Bears linebackers in radio producers would be Adam Delavitt, Ben Finfer, and Scott Bertram. Those are your 85 Bears backers. They made us better. They appreciated, especially Finji, because that was his area of expertise, that radio is brought to its potential when it uses sound and it uses movie bites and music. And
the triple header.
Ben was the best.
Yeah, he's like best ever at it.
And every time I hear the guys who are doing it today on both stations, I eat at the Burger Chef too. Today, this is the Burger King, which is my favorite burger anywhere. And if I have that fun here, it is fun. And I'm going to bring in Harry in just a second. I want to acknowledge, as we have a great time today, some people who aren't here today that we wish were. And I was reminded of it a minute ago because I had to go outside and smoke. 25 years ago when I was in this building, Norm Van Leer and I smoked a joint in that box right up there where my wife and friends are. Things have changed. Now I got to run laps with an artificial knee. And Norm died in 2009. That was the first time after I got dismissed that I wish I had a microphone, and even though I would have blubbered into it. And I tuned in to Carmen, Yurko, and Harry to heal. George and Sandy Dickerson are here today. What? Jeff Dickerson's parents.
Where are they?
My wish for, and I talked to Sylvie about this, my wish for next year's news conference at Hallis Hall for the Jeff Dickerson Good Guy Award is first time through, so I'll give this year's press conference guys the benefit of the doubt. Please ask questions of whoever wins it about people who were heroes in their life, people who exemplified team, people who were the first guys to have jump in their step after a crummy day. That's what I would have loved to hear Cole Kmet talk about. And I was listening to OTA conversations, and, you know, that's not the point. Jeff Dickerson was the point. Jeff Dickerson touched us all.
Amen.
There are 150 people I've seen already today who can begin a paragraph with Jeff Dickerson and I. And it's just what a courageous and heroic dude.
Jeff. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's well said. It is. HT?
First of all, thanks for having me.
Closer. It's got to be close.
Harry, if you want me to be...
Someone's going to get in trouble for letting me come back on ESPN. I know that. I appreciate everybody coming out today. It's very cool of you. JD was a tremendous friend, much more than a reporter, much more than a producer. He did great. Mac and I went and saw him, like, right near the end. And he was Homer Simpson yellow. And we had a chance to visit with him, and he couldn't open his eyes, but he was still Jeff Warm. And he was so appreciative that we had come out there, and I absolutely love the guy, and I miss him. And, you know, it's like, I think that's the first time I said Aaron Rodgers is cool, because he gave Parker a signed jersey.
Yeah. That's the only time we see Aaron Rodgers is cool. That was a pretty awesome thing. It was a mensch move by Aaron Rodgers.
For those of you who don't remember, Jeff was original cast member of the Mac, Yurko, and Harry show.
That's right.
He exhibited loyalty when I came over. I brought him with me. He took air checks from the little booth and the other burger chefs. And I said, I don't know if this thing's going to happen with ESPN. It's slow. Bob's still committed to Huge and Lou. Dan Patrick told me his brother's looking for a morning guy in San Diego, and I didn't want to pick up stakes, you know, and move my family, but push against the wall, I would have. Yeah. So Jeff gets me tapes. He said, will you take me with you if that happens? And I said, yeah, I'll hitch my wagon to you, Jeff Dickerson. Fortunately, we didn't have to go to San Diego.
Thank goodness.
Because everybody is so nice. The air is so clean.
You would have to talk about Wally Bunning. I mean, what would we do? I mean, come on. By the way, at 6:05, I think we'll reenact My Blue Heaven for everybody, maybe in the parking lot.
That was My Blue Heaven right there.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to.
You're paying attention.
We're going to do the whole thing.
Remember when Hugh comes to ask a question to a guest that we asked 3 minutes ago?
Oh, he still does it.
That's his philosophy.
Yeah.
I still do it.
What do you guys remember about the early months, maybe even year, when you're, I think for the first time, it's like you're doing this three-man booth thing, which is a little bit different.
Well, you should see the first time we met. It was at Riley's daughter on the Southwest Side.
Classic
111th,
place.
Yeah.
What were those first months in that first year like as you guys were getting to know each other and trying to figure out how we're going to do a three-man talk show?
Mac and I were going to a meeting with Mitch Rosen, and at the time we thought the general manager at the time.
Bob Schneider.
Bob Schneider. Yeah, that's who we thought we were going to meet. We come in and Harry's standing there. And that's the first time we met Harry. Or Mac may have met Harry before. It's the first time I met Harry. And they said, if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it as a three-man show. And I didn't have anything. Mac and I had been talking about things at White Hawk Golf Club.
When you were still with the Browns.
Right, when I was with the Browns still, before I got hurt. And I'm like, yeah, eventually I want to get into the sports radio thing. So we kind of hatched a little thing. Okay, when you're done, if you still want to do it, we'll talk and we'll see what's going on and what's happening. He was still working for the other station in town. And just before the 99 football seasons, when they did the big shuffle over there, where they shuffled the lineup and they broke up him and Terry. So one way or the other happened. He ends up not digging his gig at the station. He ends up getting released and he goes to the Super Bowl and meets some people. Then we're playing a little golf, and he says, hey, this thing might start happening. Are you in? And I said, yeah, I'm in. And then we end up getting to Riley's daughter, and we end up having a meeting, the initial meeting there. That's the first time we bumped into Harry.
It was almost – they almost pulled the plug after a year. The consultant recommended – you guys dumped
Rick,
this.
Rick Scott, by the way. Yeah, the name of the consultant. The consultant.
And Bob Schneider, who made the sales staff the stars of the station at the beginning – to his credit, he said, no, I'm going to ride this out a little bit more. I mean, how many shoves and warnings and phones being thrown can you take? Not staplers.
Phones.
It was a phone, baby.
And Bob said, no, I'm going to ride this out a little bit more. It was rough. I didn't want to do a three-man show. It didn't make any sense. And I learned after 2 years I should have been doing it forever because you're always going to find two guys engaged in a topic. Mm. If these guys want to talk horse racing, I didn't dig it at the time. I could read Bass Pro Shops and not feel hurt. They could do it. If Yurk wanted to talk to auto racing, Harry and I could both read a magazine, and he could just
he could talk to Matt Alexander,
NASCAR.
Yeah. So I mean, it worked, and musical taste. Harry and I, and we got some parodies that have to do with organ donors today because Harry taught me comedy is cruel. I need a liver that won't drive me crazy. He has Bruce Springsteen on the mind.
You did teach him that, I think, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
Nobody to blame but yourself.
I gotta find the liver, and the liver's going in me. I didn't go to Riley's Daughter to meet Mac and Yurko. I was just told there was good food there. So that's why I went. They happened to be there. And Bob Schneider saw me doing the Lovables night.
Oh, my God.
And said, that guy's funny. We should put him on with Mac and Yurko. And they were really happy to have me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about some of those pushes and shoves when we come back, by the way. I mean, we can't have a reunion without talking about a little of it. It's epic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We got other fun stuff.
We got music going out since we've got 45 minutes. Who do you love? George Thorogood?
Who do you love? Let's get some music on the way out, shall we, if we can. Cue that up real quick, Jake. We're going to be back. Packed House of the House of Blues. You guys look beautiful. Give yourselves a round of applause. Mac Yurko and Harry Reunion, it's going to continue right when we come back.
Welcome back to Mac Yurko and Harry, the reunion of sports radio's greatest power trio. Live from the House of Blues in downtown Chicago, this is ESPN Chicago 25th Anniversary Live Broadcast. Hear us in HD on 100.3 FM HD2. Hear us on the ESPN Chicago app. Watch us live on Twitch.tv. Or hear us where it all started, AM 1000.
The great Ray Clay, everybody. We're live at House of Blues for the 25th Anniversary, and we couldn't do this without a Mac Yurko and Harry reunion.
Ray!
Such a big part of station history. I can never hear Closing Time without thinking about the three of you.
Semisonic.
Ever. I mean, and it's kind of cool to be that synonymous with something, I think, for Chicago sports fans, Chicago sports radio listeners. I never hear that song in... like reminisce and think about the end of the show every day for so many years.
That's why music is the greatest art, because it teleports us to a time. Ben Finfer and I were geeking out on the phone the other night. I said it had a double post at the end.
Yeah.
38 and 138, right?
That's right.
And I'm like, wow. Boy, that's fun stuff to talk about. Get to your fight in Houston.
Much better to talk about, be associated with the song than with DUIs. I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the mayor of Skokie was busy then.
Yep. Yeah. I love that you could still be so self-deprecating about all of it, HT. Of course, that's your
nature.
It saved
his life.
That is your nature. I love it.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
It's what I love about you.
It went down, and someone said, Jesus, you've really been dealt a bad hand. Well, the fact of the matter is, I was playing solitaire. I got no one to blame but myself.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. I mean, everybody at Northwestern Hospital is great. Dr. Thacker okayed me to be here today as long as I didn't take off my mask.
Good thing you listened to him.
Yes.
Always the disciplinarian.
And, I've got to have a transplant in about a month. And Ernie, God bless his heart.
Ernie Skatton,
the doctor.
The distinguished Dr. Skatton.
Ernie tried to do it. He had a great liver, but his weave wasn't right. So they're still looking. And today I go on the list.
The arterial map, I believe I heard Ernie say it one day.
So you're on the list. Today's officially the day you're on the list.
Which is weird, because I know everything about Ernie. I don't know who's lived. Like, I'm going to bed now cheering for people to fall off their motorcycle and get a phone call at 4 in the morning.
Guess what?
You're up.
And I'm like, so you guys vet these, right? I'm not going to get a drug user's liver.
Let's hope not.
And he goes, well, if they use intravenous drugs, their liver could still be fine. They're just dumb, and they died from drug use.
So. Hey, here's the thing, though. If you get a liver of a user, maybe you'll catch a buzz without breaking your promise.
Without breaking any of the buzz.
Right.
12.
I cannot control what this guy did with his liver. Step one, out
years.
Of my control. I accept it.
There's the 12-year coin right
wow,
there.
12
got,
years.
You know what? I never got a 12-year coin, but I got a shoebox full of 6 months coins. Because those are more fun.
I got Harry's.
More fun to collect those.
I use Harry's 6-month coin as a ball marker on the golf course. I still have it. I use it as a ball marker.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Favorite segment in MJH history. I mean, I think for a lot of us it was probably Critics.
That's because we're in the media, though. I don't think the fans dug that.
No?
No.
Was it?
And they certainly don't want to hear about wardrobe critique on the radio anymore.
No, they don't.
Even though
it's
part of presentation of television.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who do you love?
Who Do You Love?
Who Do You Love? Yeah, that was another classic. Who
Let's go to Tuscaloosa. Brad Tesler and Gary Danielson will be there. Give Me the Tide. Who Do You Love? Yeah, that was fun.
I mean, it was great.
John Clayton joining the show every Wednesday at 4. A spot that he would live in on this radio station for
years.
For a long time.
Yeah.
He was
Frank
great.
Caliendo, you guys sort of introduced him to the world in a big way.
We made him.
Totally.
Frank Caliendo got where he was because of the magazine. No, he didn't. He was outstanding. I'm glad we got him.
He was outstanding,
Yeah, Monday Night John was awesome.
Monday Night John, like, that was...
Remember that when Monday Night John came on our show?
How cool was that?
It's like, you know what? He came out to the Hooters. I keep talking Carmen. He came out to we do a show at Hooters at Oak Lawn, 93rd and Cicero. And there he is coming from O'Hare Airport, just stopping by and doing his thing.
Yeah.
People were looking at us like we were nuts.
He loved you.
Who is this guy?
He's
well, I got him out of Milwaukee. I had a guy out of Milwaukee, Gino Salomon, called me from WKTI up there. And he said, hey, this guy's pretty good. You guys should try to get him on. Then we brought him up in a meeting one day. And then we were thinking about it. Then we finally got him on. He was fantastic. And then, boom. That was his, I think, initial relationship with, like, a big ESPN radio station. In Chicago, obviously, being the big one. And then that got the ears of Mike and Mike. And then Mike and Mike got him on in the morning. And then that got him the more ears.
Well, it's official if Preppy and Porkchop had him.
That's
the rest of the world took him on.
Once that
was a mistake.
Affirmation.
They should have never split up, those two.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that we did, Max said we should touch the people. And later he showed me he didn't mean it in the way that I was doing it. Right. But we went out every Friday to all parts of Chicagoland, and we met people like you guys, and we hung out, and we got a chance to visit with you, and some of you have been listening for a long time, and some of you just got there, and it was so appreciated. And one day we're going to do an anniversary show for you.
Put it in the works.
Yes.
All right, now on to a couple of the confrontations. The first fight, the second fight, the third, I don't know how many were there, which was...
Let's go to the first great moment on the show with a World Series and talk a little baseball. We were the White Sox flagship, if you don't mind
2005.
Right. 2005.
Here they come. Here they come.
We went to Boston, Anaheim, and then Houston. And it was a long night in Game 3. We're all up late. Sherry and I were watching at the hotel. It was the only game of the series I didn't go to. Mm. And so we're all tired, you know, and we're irritable, and... After the fight, we wound up convincing Jim Pastor to travel an engineer because, you know, they were zooming us all over the country. The first year, I think we did 7 trips, and that's half a year. So it's like we love doing it, especially big events like World Series, Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do that, you got to invest in a guy
because
the reason this went bad is it's the landscape at Minute Maid Park from our perch.
Mm.
It's like. My team is taking batting practice, and they're 27 outs away from the first World Series in Chicago in 88 years.
That's right.
And it was so exhilarating. And the Renton engineer, he made a few mistakes.
What
the
first was his
day.
Name?
I don't remember. My favorite Elvis? Renton engineer was Frank Beaver of Tampa.
Frank, is there really a Frank Beaver in Tampa?
You never got into the Beaver in Tampa?
Oh, man.
What about the guy in Hawaii? Major...
Major Beaver, yes.
Major Harris.
Michaels.
Major Michaels.
Major Michaels.
I served under Major Michaels.
Anyway.
Either way, we needed to have a permanent guy.
When you have a machine with audio on it, there are pieces of sound on it that need to be brought down at a certain point, like an applause card or Bob Marley's jamming. And I talked to the guy the day before, and he made a few mistakes the day before, and I talked to him before we went on the air. This is a World Series clinching broadcast. He had 3 people visiting with him in the booth in the first. And he missed the cue. You know, and okay, strike one. And then 5 minutes later, he has ice cream dripping down on his control board, and we've got a Bob Marley, whatever it was. And so there's 2 cues. He missed the third. So we're out of the gate real strong. And
he looked like William H. Macy in Shameless, too, you know? I mean, he looked disheveled when he came to the park.
The scene where he passes the urinalysis in Shameless, that is classic.
But that's what this guy looked like.
Yeah, he was. I just remember the ice cream on his chin and 4 mistakes. And we come into a next segment, and we're trying to regroup in Harry's microphone. He didn't depress his microphone. And so I waited until the break, and then Mount St. Mackie, needing his perfection.
Oh, he blew.
The King Baby personified, as we say in the rooms. I whip my headsets off the wall, and bang, just and he gives it right back. And we always were able to heal that shortly after. You're going I quickly, too. But it was emotional, and it was high decibel. And batting practice stops.
Everybody's looking up. From the field. And there's like 80 members of the press out there.
Milo Hamilton was the Astros announcer.
Yep. 20 minutes.
He says in the hallway, now you know why I left Chicago. Now, you left Chicago because Harry kicked your ass out of town. That's why you left Chicago.
Smart ass.
Yeah.
Carl Everett was looking up going, are those dinosaurs?
Yeah. Or are those real people fighting?
Either way, we finished the show.
Yeah, we finished the show. Yeah, and, you know, we...
The show must go on.
It did. It did. Sherry and I, my wife and I went in the booth before we went down to the field. Ed Farmer. Cheers to Ed Farmer.
Cheers to Farmio.
A guy who was an organ donor recipient and lived a long time and promoted that cause. Ed goes down to the field. And John was very territorial about his booth.
Yes.
And he always had Ed bringing a million people in because Ed was America's friend. And I knew how he was about his booth. And he's sitting by himself. He has three outs to call. And he says, Mac, pull up a chair. Which was the signature phrase on the show.
Yes, it was.
And it's like, that's the name of my upcoming book, Pull Up a Chair. Thank you, Harley and Sherry, for the push on that. That's the right way to go. And it should be out by August at the latest. It's published by Eckhart. But
it'll be available on Kindle.
So, and we went through photos that night with players and stuff and just put on the happy face. But that was crazy. I mean, how many shows can say we interrupt the batting practice of the World Series and we're rewarded for it?
And, right.
How many shows can debate which Pro Bowl broadcasts were the best of those several we did?
Those were some epic Pro Bowl shows, let me tell you. I don't know. I always was jealous. I'm like, how are they convincing the bosses to go to the Pro Bowl? These guys are masters.
The boss said, give me the title sponsor, and I made a phone call to Shoeless Joe in Rosemont. My paisan.
Joey McAtelly, right?
Yeah, my paisan. Let me make a phone call. Let's go to Hawaii.
We got more with Mac Yurko and Harry coming up. We're going to be right back. We're live at the House of Blues for the 25th anniversary celebration on ESPN Chicago.
Hey, this is Lucas Giolito from the Chicago White Sox. Happy 25th anniversary to ESPN Chicago.
Blues in Marina City in downtown Chicago. Hey, remember, tip your bartenders or they're going to put their fingers in your drink. This is the Mac, Yurko, and Harry Show on ESPN Chicago, 25th anniversary live broadcast.
The old afternoon saloon. You can still watch us on Twitch all day today, twitch.tv, or download the app live here at the House of Blues. If you've ever seen the movie Rushmore, you'll know that the lead character wrote a hit play. So did Harry Tynowitz, wrote a hit play that is going off Broadway, as I understand it, HT?
We're very excited. First, thank you. Raise your hand if you've seen the play. It was out for
a play
for
or
the
weeks. Play?
The play.
Oh, the play. They said a play.
Bro,
no,
the play.
No, we would get the same amount of hands. But the play I wrote when Harry met Rehab... all about a radio station making me go to rehab and then sending out a public statement from an anonymous program that I was joining. We made that into a play, and Spike Manson and I, the play is going to New York.
Awesome.
Don Clark, the guy that owns the house, the Chicago Magic Lounge, is our producer. And it's very exciting. We're going to be half a block from Broadway, and it's an open-ended run, meaning, you know, it could be a wonderful thing.
Awesome. Good, HT. We got another person up on the stage that you're going to recognize. He did updates for, my goodness, probably almost the entire run of Mac, Yurko, and Harry. Back then, there was we didn't have this. You didn't have the constant ability to check scores.
You had pagers.
And to get highlights. You actually had to have an update person.
Yeah.
Three times an hour, someone had to deliver the news and scores and stories. And Dave Jude was that voice on Mac, Yurko, and Harry for a long, long time. And Jude flew in from Arizona with his wife, Teresa. They're back here. celebrating 25 years. I mean, you were one of the original hires at the station too, Dave.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Make sure that mic's on. Mike.
It's our Houston engineer. There's ice cream here.
Look at Ernie. Ernie's going over to the mic.
Where is the engineer?
The mics.
Dave Miska. Dave Miska.
We've lost our engineer.
Since I forgot to
mention. Yeah, that's one. That one's on.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
All right, we got him.
I got one.
We got a lot of microphones up here, guys.
It's not a big show or
anything.
Where's
Miska?
Yeah. I know. So
you said, I did. I was one of the originals.
Yep.
And I know Sylvie might tell the Bulls locker room story later when they're on the air. Yeah, I was one of the originals. I was in the Bulls locker room. Couple of days before ESPN 1000 launched, I worked every shift on the 24-hour clock.
Yes.
And eventually, Mac is one of the reasons why doors started to open for me. Mac liked the way I did updates and said, I want this guy on our show. I moved to Afternoon Drive and was there for the last 13 years.
How about that?
Almost 19 if you count when I first started.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. Well, nobody ever had a better delivery doing updates than Jude.
The smooth-sounding Dave Jude.
Like,
that's right.
And if and when Dave would ever make a mistake, it was like...
That was breaking news.
Yeah, what the hell just happened?
And we'd, in the sports office, we'd duck. When he came out, I'd be like, watch out, he's going to be pissed. He's like, he's going to come out of that booth. Like, he never made a mistake when it happened.
I got 2 minutes. It better be flawless.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Not only that, but the office back then had all the media guides everywhere.
Yes.
Because media guides were a big part of what we did.
Yeah.
If you wanted to ascertain information, it wasn't a computer you went to. It was straight to the media guides to find out who the hell was for them, where, what, why, and how, and how many touchdowns they had. And then over the course of a lifetime, it dissipated to nothing. They didn't even hand them out anymore. But that was
of course not. Now it's all digital.
It was a fall and a spring tradition, getting the old media guides out and putting the new media guides on.
And Dave would organize them.
That's a great story. Those of you who love Yurko's story about media guides, give it up for him.
I'm telling you. This guy
flies
the best.
In from Arizona. Come on,
Dave, you're the best.
Jude was the only sober guy on the staff, and his nickname was the pharmacist. That's how, because he always had headaches after mistakes. You got a backache, Jude's got Advil. Jude's got this. Only guy who didn't take the plane in the air has all the drugs.
That's true.
I had all of the over-the-counter medication that you could possibly need.
That's right.
Right there in my backpack.
That's why Harry and I never stopped there. It's over-the-counter.
It was like pain meds. It was sinus stuff. You had it all. Absolutely.
It did. Yeah.
My favorite time with Jude was when we got to do that hockey game, by the way. I mean, you realize what a pro he was because it's like all of a sudden he's never done hockey play-by-play, and he was absolutely flawless at it. But I don't know. What are your favorite memories, Dave, of Mac, Yurko, and Harry? All the fun, all the frivolity. What do you remember most?
Well, like I said, I mean, I enjoyed being able to do what I loved on their show. I enjoyed being able to. Harry used to say, "We can have fun because Jude's doing the important stuff in the background, watching the wires, writing the updates." That was my passion. That was my niche. In terms of like. Favorite memories of the station, probably, and this is going to sound crazy, but calling the Chicago Marathon the one year.
Khalid Kanucci.
The first year, Kanucci won. Yeah, Kanucci won the men's race, but Paula Radcliffe, a woman from Great Britain, came in, highly touted. Not only did she break the women's record, but she shattered it by over a minute. We get done with calling that, and we go to our first break in about 45 minutes. And my partner, his name was Cree Kelly. Cree was, I think, the president of USA Track and Field. Yeah. He'd seen every Chicago Marathon up to that point. And he turns to me and he says, "So how you feeling? How you doing?" I said, "Wow, I'm great. Why?" He says, "Because you just called the world record. There are not a lot of people that get to say that."
Wow.
So for me, that was probably one of my most favorite things. It's on my SoundCloud page.
Perfect. Wow, can we all get that?
A SoundCloud page.
You guys want to get, what's your sound? How do you get TikTok or ZigZag or whatever? Where's your SoundCloud?
Where do you go for the SoundCloud
page? I want to hear that.
The thing about the SoundCloud page, and I bring that up kind of as a joke, though, because I'm a high school teacher now.
Yeah.
And I've been teaching radio and audio production to students for 7 years in Mesa. But when I tell them, yes, I have a SoundCloud page, and I tell them, I had a SoundCloud page set up before, that's where all the independent music people went. Because yeah. they're sitting there snickering, Dave's got a SoundCloud page. I want to hear Dave rap. I'm like, no. No, you don't understand.
You don't want to hear Dave rap.
Well, you do have tattoos, so.
Yeah.
I have, yes. I had tattoos when I was working with you guys.
The most improbable tattooed couple in America, Dave and Teresa Giudice.
Without a doubt. I don't know what's more improbable, that Dave's got tattoos or that Cap, like, is soon going to have an arm sleeve. I mean, it's very strange.
I had a couple when I moved to Arizona, but then this arm just kind of became my lifeline. So important people or important events in my life, places,
amazing.
It just kind of grew to my elbow, and now it's grown some
on the
more.
Forearm.
And yeah, and then there's a Cubs one over here.
Okay.
Boo. Cubs 2016.
I would like to hear David rap. Boo. I would actually like to hear Dave rap.
No, you don't.
I did not know it was the world record-setting marathon. I want to hear that, because if you think marathons are fun to watch, you should listen.
You should listen
to
on the radio.
I did. I listened.
I was on the lead car with Kerry Pinkowski. Better. Dave was
there.
Anchoring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave's anchoring the coverage. I'm on the lead car.
I remember some of that.
Right. Let's go to the men's lead vehicle. Carmen DeFalco. What's going on?
They're flying to Lincoln Park.
We've got five Ethiopians and two Kenyans in the lead.
And if memory, and I know everybody's...
Straight headwind.
I know everybody's remembering JD today, and if memory serves me correct,
JD was on the women's vehicle that morning. Absolutely
and so
was.
JD was telling us all about Paula Radcliffe throughout the race.
100%. All right, boys, as we bid everyone a fond farewell, what do you want to say, you guys? I mean, you really made this... You were the lifeblood of the station. You got us going. You made us legitimate, like I said. That's not blowing smoke. It's one of the most memorable shows ever. So it's great to have all you guys back up here. What do you want to say as we say goodbye?
I've been reminded of the brotherhood, despite our fights today, running into Waddle and everybody. Friends of mine who worked for a living in 08 are saying, why are you so uptight about a union contract, you and Yurko and Waddle with NFL money and Yurko? And your coffee not hot enough? No, we want Dave Giudice to be a full-time employee and not go through another company. We want reporters to our producers to want to work here full-time and not have to look for jobs elsewhere because they can't pay for their dental work. So that's why we were fighting. And we were brilliant about it. We had all these conversations next to the general manager's office in the conference room. And that was just so smart to do it right there. We were thinking about renting a plane to fly a banner over Wrigley Field for the hockey game, the Winter Classic.
True story.
ESPN union busting, because we were 2 years removed from a deal.
And you had a meeting in Jim's office.
Yeah, that was smart, right? That was brilliant. But it's the brotherhood. It's all of us, despite the fights, pulling together. And I want to start counseling Sylvie more. I heard his tirade on Kaplan. Oh, my God. It's me, 2005. Because he cares so much. He's an intense MF-er.
A lot of passion.
Where is he? Yeah. Where is Sylvie? Is he up there?
I appreciate it. Every day I got to be on the air in Chicago. And I hope that I get back on the air. I got... a little something that I gotta take care of first, but it will be taken care of, believe you me. And then look out, because I'll be back, and
You're gonna write another hit play. What are you talking about? That's
back
what's
in
gonna
the saddle
next.
Again.
Yurko?
It's great to see these guys. I mean, Harry, you and I saw Harry when we went out for the play.
Yes. Well, we helped do something pre-production.
Right. We helped do something for the play, which we had a ball with.
Yeah,
all the precautions,
Harry,
and all the stuff. We just went out and had a fun time. Met some of the people that were going to star in the play, too, which was kind of nice. I see Mackie in Northwest Indiana a lot. Him and I go eat some breakfast or have some coffee every once in a while. Still haven't played golf with him. You know, Mackie.
Well, you're the one with the country club. Invite Mac out.
No. Mackie was always great. Mackie come out, and that first ball go out of bounds 18 feet. He'd re-tee a ball, boom, come back, par.
Four. Well, breakfast ball, come on.
I go, four? I go, what are you talking about?
Everybody
four.
Gets a breakfast ball.
He's claiming a four.
I go, this thing's a seven. I go, my God.
Time for the almanac?
Time for the almanac, Gary. We'll do it in at 2:05. Let's see the almanac.
Good to thank see you for coming, everybody.
I know the rap
thank
sign
you.
Is coming. I know the rap sign is coming. I just want to shout out to Danny Zetterman for the invitation to be here today.
He's also the one giving you your Oscars cue.
He's going to give you the hook.
So thank you, guys.
Come on, Peter Brown might be
here
too.
Have you seen Danny's hair?
Yes, I have.
It's beautiful.
Mac, Yurko, and Harry, everybody.
Thunder, thanks for coming. Thanks for being supportive.
Closing time. We'll be right back live at House of Blues.
And its personalities have developed a connection with many sports luminaries, both from Chicago and across the nation. We've been able to create live broadcasts at locations all over town, and in many cases, we've gotten to know these stars on a whole different level. Pro stars like Ryan Urlacher, Andre Dawson, Jay Cutler, Mike Ditka, Bobby Hull, Kyle Schwarber, Ryan Sandberg, and Charles Barkley. Distinguished broadcasters like Brett Musburger, Al Michaels, Eddie Olczyk, Pat Foley, Jim Nance, and Mike Tirico. The list goes on. We've even aired a small portion of an interview with Dennis Rodman. But we're still not supposed to talk about it yet. The point is that being Chicago's home for sports is not just talk show hosts talking about the news of the day. It's about connecting to the sports community and bringing those connections to the fans. That's why we're here today, celebrating 25 years of ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to our live broadcast from the House of Blues in downtown Chicago.
Thank you, Ray. Live at House of Blues. Waddle and Sylvie coming up for Crosstalk. They got a cast of thousands. Back in, maybe around 2000 or so, 1999, 2000, it was Huge and Lou in the afternoons. And while Lou had to wear two hats, he had to be a host with Bill and try to somehow keep Bill on the track and make him somewhat entertaining, which was a tough job. He also had to do updates, and I used to write him for Lou. And I was snot-nosed, nothing, just starting out in the business. And I'd write scripts for Lou, and it was one of my first introductions into, like, doing something significant in this business. Sweet Lou Canellis was part of this radio station's history. He needs very little introduction. He's Lou Canellis, after all.
He is Lou Canellis.
What's up, buddy?
Guys, thanks so much. And you know what? Truth being told, I was the first voice on ESPN Radio with Tony Bruno and Mike Golic doing updates at 5 a.m.
That's right.
And I remember doing morning drive, needing to be there. Because remember, you had Zamira Jones, I think, was the general manager back then.
Yep.
Wanted to make sure I was there at 3 o'clock. I lived on Oak Street between Clark and LaSalle. I'm walking to the Hancock Building.
That's right.
Back then. And there's gunshots.
Oh, boy.
And I'm trying to run for cover in my yellow jacket because it's the middle of winter, and I'm listening to gunshots. Anyway, it's been a long time. Congratulations. In this industry, to be around for 25 years, it's an honor to you guys and the rest of the guys on ESPN Radio that you keep going.
But there was a beginning. When I moved back here after Cleveland, I was listening to Lou and Huge. Huge and Lou. Jerome the homie.
Oh my God. Easy, you said that, not me.
Yeah, I said it.
You can't say that these days.
Wendy the weather chick?
Oh, my gosh.
It was a different era. We used to have Wendy the weather chick.
You guys went down to Jackson State after Walter Payton passed away. You guys went down to Jackson State. And you guys
You guys were on the campus, right, after Walter passed?
What an incredible experience with Eddie Payton.
With Eddie, yes.
Right? Eddie was with us.
He's a golf coach down there.
Just did an unbelievable show. But I remember meeting you. I believe it was at Naperville North.
No, it was Downers Grove.
Downers Grove.
It was North.
Didn't you and
South.
Huge do a game together?
We did a game together, yeah.
A high school game.
So they were doing a show from the press box. It was Downers Grove North against Downers Grove South. John Belskis was the coach for the Mustangs. And for the Trojans, Downers Grove North, it was Nash. Tim Nash,
I believe.
I remember it because I had to learn it. But both of those guys were there. And we did the game. So I'm sitting there waiting. These guys, I meet them. Hey, how you doing? Nick Pinto, I believe, was there.
Well, I think Nick's here,
he
by
was
the
producing.
Way.
Nick Pinto was on the field. I believe he was producing it. And I meet these guys, and they're doing their show. Minute show's over. Lou's taillights back to the city.
I don't blame
Lou is gone. I got Huge, right? And Huge is drinking Diet Cokes, as was his wont.
Oh, he put down 10. He reminded me of Kopic.
Kopic
used to drink Diet Coke like that.
So we're doing a show. I'm with Huge, right? First time I met Huge. I'm sitting there, and I'm doing the show. Oh, I look to my right. Huge is gone. I'm like, where'd he go?
And I'm going to tell you where he went. You tell me if I'm right. He needed to hit the potty.
Yes. I see him running down the stairs. The bathroom is in the end zone in one of them brick buildings. And so I'm like, and they're coming to the line of scrimmage for the play. I'm like,
high formation.
The Trojan set up with a tight end, right? High formation, wide receivers.
That was it.
What the hell? I start doing play by play. And then Pinto says, throw it to me. So I threw it down to the sidelines and let them do the sidelines. 5 minutes later, I see you can't miss him. You can't miss him. He looked like the sausage races in Milwaukee. This big head come running through to whatchamacallit. I knew he was coming back soon.
He was a big Yurko fan.
I liked him. I like Huge. Listen. I catch Huge on the national show that he does on the weekends.
So do I.
I caught myself driving a lot at night in Huge and beyond. Huge fan.
He's entertaining.
I'm telling you.
He's entertaining.
And he's got a command of the nation. You know what I'm
no
saying?
Question.
He does. Say that?
And he loves that.
Oh, like he knows
Of
a little bit of everything and what's going on.
He knows the nation. Yes.
Listen, I just had someone... And I don't want to bring the show down, but I was just in Tampa.
I was going to bring this up. You know, Lou started, like a lot of the older guys, we're all old now, but like Lou goes back to sports phone. The young people
any sports phone guys in the house?
Anybody know what sports phone is?
976-1313.
You got some gamblers over on this.
Well, yeah.
I know.
When we talked about how Jude used to have to do updates, you got to go back another 20 years, and you used to have to call a service. And people like Lou and Steve Olkin and
Boden.
Chris Boden. Names
Jeff Joniak.
Joniak, absolutely.
Chris Mattson, Brian Wheeler. I mean, some really big names that have gone on and had terrific play-by-play careers around the country. And one of those
guys was Dave Wills. And Dave Wills was a part of this. Dave was coming in for this, actually. He was a part of this station. He did the White Sox pre- and post-game. He was on the pre- and post-game when the White Sox won it in 05 with Bill Melton, and I was going to bring it up because you were close with Dave, and Dave went on to be a hugely successful play-by-play voice at the Tampa Bay Rays, and you were just at the service for him because he passed tragically a couple of weeks ago.
I actually just flew back at noon today, and Dave and I went to kindergarten together, grade school together, high school together, co-sports editors of the Oakland High School Spartanite. Roommates after college. His brother worked for my dad for 27 years. Dave worked for my dad. I mean, and we grew up in the business together. And I'll never forget Mr. Tucker's class, English class, at Oakland High School. And both Dave and I were playing on the baseball team. And Mr. Tucker came up and said, if baseball doesn't work out, what would you like to do? And Dave said, I want to be the play-by-play man for a Major League Baseball franchise. I went up last night, so I flew to Tampa. Last night, the Tampa Bay Rays had a celebration of life for Dave at Tropicana Field. Mm. It was spectacular. It was beautiful. It was emotional. It was moving. And I went up to the owner of the Rays afterwards, and I thanked Stu Sternberg, who's the owner of the Rays, and I said, you don't know this, but this man had a dream, and you allowed him to fulfill his dream. And Dave was bigger than life, Carm, Tampa. Everyone knew Dave Wills.
Everybody knew him down there. And I said it after, when we got back on that Monday, Lou, I said it, you know, and I said it when Eddie was up here earlier. You really do remember the people that were good to you when you're young, when you don't know anything, the people that want to help you. Guys like Joniak, you mentioned. I mean, Sylvie and I are super close, but he's older than me, kind of took me under his wing. Dave Wills was great to Sylvie and me. Any opportunity he could give to me to be on the air in the postgame show, Dave would do it. Like, he was great. He was a fun, larger-than-life person. That was, like, the best way to describe him. He was going to be here for this because he's a part of the station's history. It's too bad he passed. I was so sad to hear it. And
I'm going to do a public service announcement. I'm 59. Dave was 58. He leaves behind two kids.
Yeah.
Please, please, please make sure you're healthy, because Dave went to sleep and never woke up.
It's crazy. You look great for 59, by the way. I want to look as good as Lou does.
I have a 4.5-year-old daughter that I chase around.
Hey, you and Anthony Quinn, huh?
He's going to get another one in a few years. He's going to have another one in a few years. He's going to really go for Anthony Quinn. All right, it's always great seeing you, dude. Keep up all the good work.
Guys, bravo. Congratulations to all of you.
Lou Kanellis, Waddle and Sylvia will be down coming up next. We got Crosstalk coming up.